Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Zayin. We're going to begin already, more than halfway down the Daf, with the words Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, about 15, 20 lines up from the bottom. It's right a few lines into the Tosos, Mai. And we're learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas, Ann Stern, Chana Bas Yitzchak. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, so we begin. Tanya, we learn in the following Braisa, the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, he holds the following sheet. Yev Shalom Alevi Mlamata. This is talking back about Har Grizim and Har Evol, how some of the Shvatim, six of the Shvatim were on Har Grizim, and six of the Shvatim were on Har Evol, and it said that Levi was down in the middle. So this is problematic because we seem to have a contradiction between some of the Pesukim. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov tells us, Yev Shalom Alevi Mlamata, you can't simply say that Levi is totally in the bottom, in between the two mountains, because Shikvar Nemar Lamala, because the Pesukim tell us that Levi was one of the six Shvatim, was on the top as well, on one of the mountains. They were on Har Grizim. You can't say they were just on Har Grizim, Shikvar Nehem Alamata, because it was also said that they were below, in between the two mountains. So which one is it? So how do you reconcile both of these two psukim? So the first teretz that we give is Zikne Kuhuna Ulevi Alamata Vashar Lamala. The first teretz that's given over here from the Tanakhama of this Braisa is that the elders of the Kohanim and the Levim, they were the bottom. They were in between the two mountains. They were the ones, the Levim, that were saying all the brachos and klalos. And the rest of the Shevet Levi, that wasn't Zikne Kohuna and Levia, they were up on the top on Har Grizim. That's Vahashah Lamala. That's the first teretz that's given. Rav Yosha gives a different teretz. He says, Kol Roy Lusharis Lamata Vahashah Lamala. Slightly different, not much. He says that those people that were still eligible to do the Avoda, the Levim, between the ages of 30 and 50, were eligible to do the Avoda. They had an inauguration period of 5 years when they were 25 years old, and they then served as Levim from the ages of 30 to 50. So those that were Roy Liavoda, they were down in the bottom between the two mountains. And the rest of Levim, those that were under the age of 30 or over the age of 50, they were up on the top of the mountains on Har Grizim. Vashar Lumal. That's the teretz number two that Rav Yosha gives. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi gives a different teretz. Rabbi tells us, Eluv Elu Lamata Hinomdim. In fact, all of Klai Yisrael, and not only all of the Levim, but all of Klai Yisrael was not on the mountains. Rebbe darshins differently than we've been saying till now, that six of the Shvatim were on Har Grizim, and six of the Shvatim were on Har Evol. He says, no, all of Klai Yisrael was at the bottom. Nobody was on Har Grizim, nobody was on Har Evol, and therefore, all Levim were together on the bottom. You know, how do you understand the Psukim? So Rebbe holds that Hofchu Pneim Klapi Har Grizim Upasu Bevracha, that everybody was on the bottom, and the Levim started saying the brachos while they were facing, they turned towards Har Grizim, and all of Klai Yisrael turned with them, and then Klai Yisrael answered Amen to each of the brachos and each of the klalos. So when the brachos were given, they were all on the bottom between the two mounds, they just turned towards Har Grizim for the brachos, and then Klapei Har Evol Upasu B'Klalo. Then they turned towards Har Evol, and the Levim said the Klalos, and Klai Yisrael answered Amen. It seems to say that they were on Har Grizim and on Har Evol. How do you understand that? My Al. How do you understand the word that they were Al, that normally is translated as on? So Rebbe holds Al means Bisamuch. It means that they were adjacent to, next to, but not on the mountains. They were at the foot of the mountains, but not on the mountains. And this is in accord with the following Braisa, Kiditanya. The following Braisa tells us in regards to the Lechem Aponim. There were 12 showbreads, the Lechem Aponim, that were in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were stacked, six in one column and six in another column, and then you had the Lavona, the frankincense, that was put on top of it. That's one way to understand it. But this Braisa, the Tanan, this Braisa holds an Osata al HaMarechas Lavona Zaka. The simple understanding is that you put it on the Marechas, on top of the two, six stacked Lechem Aponim. So the simple understanding would be you put the Lavona directly on top of it. That's the what the words sound like. However, Rebbe Yomer, again, Rebbe Lishitaso, Rebbe says, Al doesn't mean on top of it. Al means bisomuch, that you should go and put it adjacent to it. Not like the understanding of the Tanakhama, but also Al HaMarocha Lavona Zaka, it means literally on the Marocha, on the stack of the six Lechem upon it. You had a bazich, a kaf, a cup of Lavona on top of six, and then another cup of Lavona on top of the other six. No, Rebbe says it was adjacent to it. Al means bisomuch, just like he says over here, that they were not on top of Har Grizim, Har Evol, they were adjacent to it. So that's Rebbe's opinion over here with the Lechem upon him as well. Now, the Gemara questions that. The Braisa says, Atomer al besamuch, awenu elo al mamish. Why are you saying it means adjacent to it? What's your source for that? Why don't you say that it means al directly on top of it? Mamish, directly on top of it. So Rebbe answers, Kishomer, when the Pasuk tells us that it says, Visako saw al ha'aron. The full Pasuk tells us as follows. Visamto shom eis aron hoidus, Visako saw al ha'aron, Es haparoches is a paroches that is on it. It says
al
ha'aron. So it doesn't mean that it was on top of the aron. It must mean it was adjacent to it. So that's how Rebbe dashes. The pasuk v'sakosah al haron doesn't mean on it. It means adjacent to it. Hevi omer al means b'samuch, adjacent to it. And that's Rebbe shita, both in regards to the aron, in regards to the lechem aponim, and in regards to Klai Yisrael on Har Evel and Har Grisim. They weren't on it. They were adjacent to it. And therefore, Rebbe reconciles. How can you tell me the Levim were on top and the Levim were on the bottom? No, everybody was on the bottom. Now, the Mishnah we quote, Havchu Pineim, Klapi Hagrizim, Apostle Berachim Chule. So we went through the Mishnah, the entire process of Hagrizim and Harevel. Tana Rabban, the Brisa tells us a little bit more. First, what happened was Baruch Beklau. There was a general bracha that was given to all of Klai Yisrael that was that you should listen to all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you to do. And there'll be a bracha. Asher Yokim, as Divya Torah Zos, you'll get a bracha. And then, Baruch Beprat. Then we have the specific things that were specifically mentioned on Har Grizim, Har Evel, the specific items. After you had the more general bracha, then you had the specific brachas that will come to you for fulfilling those specific commandments. Then it was Oru B'Klal. There was a general statement, Oru Asher Lo Yakim Mitzvei Torah Zos. And then there were the specifics afterwards, an Oru B'Frat that told you if you didn't follow along and went against all of these things, so then you'll get a specific klala for each one. So you have a general bracha and the specific brachos. So you have a general klala, and then you have the specific klalos. And we also have another rule that tells us that with every mitzvah, there are four aspects to it. Lilmod, ulalamed, lishmor, velasos. As Rashi says over here, in Dibur HaMaschel, lilmod, ulalamed, lishmor, velasos, kol mitzvos kulon, to unos arba, eila. Each mitzvah has, if you wish, four components to it, four aspects to it. V'limadetem osam, u'shmartem lasosam, u'ksiv v'limadetem osam es b'neichem, harei kan arba mitzvos l'chol mitzvah. You have all four aspects over here, lilmod, ulalamed, lishmor, and lasos for every single mitzvah. And therefore, when we say over here that there was brachos in general and brachos specific, klalos in general and klalos in specific, so for each one, there actually were four aspects to it. Because you had the aspect of lilmod, the aspect of lalamed, to learn and to teach, lishmor, to observe, and lasos, to do. So you had each one of them actually had four aspects to it. And we turn to Lamed Zayin or Beis. So each one had arba. Now, once you have for each of the brachos in general, you have arba. So you have lilmod, lilamed, lishmor, and lasos for the brachos in general, and you have it for the brachos in specific, in particular. So that's arba, the arba, hevishmona. That comes out to eight. Four to each one of the general, and four to each one of the specific. And then you have the same thing when you have the klala in general, and the klala specifically. So shmona, ushmona, another eight for that, hari sheshes, where you have a total, really, of 16. And therefore, there are really 16 components, if you wish, or 16 aspects over here on Har Grizim and Har Evel. And then he says the same thing happens with Chaim B'Sinai. On Har Sinai, we also have the same idea that all of these general brachos and klalos and specific brachos and klalos were given again on Har Sinai. And likewise, it was reiterated with Chaim B'Arvos Moab. We have the same idea when it says, Be'er Yardin Be'eris Moab, Moshe explained the Torah. Be'er is a Torah Hazos. So therefore, we have it again. So we have three places, the brachos and klalos on Har Grizim, Har Evel, Har Sinai, and the Arvos Moav. Shenemar, Eilat Divrei HaBritza, Asher Tziva Hashem es Moshe v'Gomer. That's what we said, that Moshe Rabbeinu explained the Torah to Klai Yisrael, and the end of that pasuk is on Har Sinai, B'chorev. And it also says, Uksiv, Rashi says we don't have to be garbage because this doesn't add anything, but our Gemara has it, so we'll read it anyway. Uksiv, Ushmaat, Divrei HaBritza, Zos v'Gomer. So what do we see that we have? We have 16 on Har Grizim Har Evel, because it was 4 times 4, and we have the same 16 on Har Sinai and the same 16 on Arvos Moav. 16, 16, and 16 is 48. So therefore, Nimtza Arba Mushmona Brisos call Mitzvah Omitzvah. So there actually are 48 Brisim associated with each and every one of the Mitzvahs. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Motzi Hagrizim Har Evel. Rabbi Shimon says, no, delete Hagrizim and Har Evel from this count. He agrees that there are also 48, but he says on Hagrizim and Har Evel, they didn't have the entire Torah. They just had the specific brachos and klalos that were mentioned for Hagrizim and Har Evel, but he agrees that there was a third time, and that's Umachnis Ol Moed Shebe Midbar. He adds to this the psukim that we find by Ol Moed in the Midbar. And therefore, he also has three times that this Torah was taught to Klai Yisrael. So instead of him having Hagrizim Har Evel, he removes that, and he has it in the Ol Moed in the Midbar. So he also has 16, 16, and 16 for 48. He just comes to it a different way than the Tanakhama. Now, this machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon parallels the same machlokus between two other Tanoim. We have the following machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. And we'll see that Rabbi Akiva, his shita is going to be similar to the shita of his Talmud, Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yishmael goes with the shita of the Tanakama. What is this machlokas? The following brisa between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya. Rabbi Yishmael omer, klolos demru b'sinai, upratos bol moed. Rabbi Yishmael holds like the Tanakama in the sense that he says that the same thing that was told to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai was also said in the Ohel Moed. It was one and the same. So therefore, he doesn't separate out the Ohel Moed as a separate entity. He says the Klolos were taught on Har Sinai, and in Ohel Moed, they were taught the Pratim. And therefore, that's not considered a separate excellent like Rabbi Shimon holds, Umachnis Ohel Moed Shebe Midbar. Instead, he says, no, Har Sinai and the Ohel Moed, they're considered one. But Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva holds like his Talmud, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva omer, no. Klalus u'pratus demru b'sinai, v'nishnu b'ol moed. He says everything was taught on Har Sinai, and it was only repeated on the Ol Moed, and therefore it's not considered a separate giving. And therefore, v'nishtalshu b'arvos moed. And the separate giving is an arvos moed. So you have Har Grizim Har Evo, Har Sinai, and arvos moed. That's exactly like Rabbi Shimon said. So everybody's in agreement that the Torah was taught three times. It's just a question between these four places, what was done separately at each of these four places. According to Rabbi Shmuel and the Tanakama, Har Sinai and Arvos Moav were the same, and according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva, the reiteration at the Ol Moed doesn't get counted in one of these three times. Okay. Gemara continues and says, at the end of this brayse, we said, "Ve'en l'chol chodaver mitzvah mitzvah sheksuva b'Torah shlo nichrusu aleha arboim u'shmona briso." So therefore it came out that whether you hold like the Tanakama or Rabbi Shimon, or you hold like Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, everybody agrees that every mitzvah has, so to say, 48 aspects to it. 48 brisim were associated with every single mitzvah because each one had four for each one. And since it was said over three different times, however, the three locations that we just explained the machlokes, which are the three times it was. So it's 3 times 16, which is 48. Now, that's the conclusion of the Braisa. But then the Braisa has another opinion, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. Not to be confused with Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. The Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who is Ish Kvar Akko, he came from the city of Akko, he said, Omar Mishum Rabbi Shimon. He said the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Ein lecha mitzvah mitzvah shekesuv b'Torah, shelo nichrusu aleha, arboim u'shmona brisos. He agrees with the 48, but then he added on that there are shoshei shmeyos elef u'shloshes alafim v'chamei shmeyos v'chamishim, that there were 603,550 people, males above the age of 20, between the ages of 20 and 60, that left Mitzrayim. And since we all 603,550 people were held responsible for each other, Koyisrael, Arevim, Zelazeh, so the 48 has to be multiplied by 603,550 to really get the number of aspects or brisim that were nichras at this time, because every Jew was held accountable to make sure that every other Jew did all the mitzvos. So it's 48 times 603,550, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Ishwar Akko, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's the first understanding of this second opinion of Rabbi Shimon. We now have a third understanding of this opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi holds that Ledivri Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Ishkar Akosh Amar Shimon Rabbi Shimon, that the proper understanding of the second opinion is not like we just said, 48 times 603,550, but it's 48 times 603,550 times 603,550 to get the total number of brisim that actually were kares for each single mitzvah. And that is because not only does he hold, as we'll see in the Gemara inside in a moment, but he also says that not only is every person responsible for everybody else, but every person is also responsible for every other person not taking care of what they have to take care of. So it's twice 603,550, because if I am responsible for everybody else, so then everybody else is also responsible for me being responsible for everybody else. Let's see this now inside. So we have three opinions of Rabbi Shimon. The first one is we had that it's just 48. The second one that we had is the first opinion, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Ishvar Akko, and then Rabbi Shimon, that it's 48 times 603,550. Then we have the second opinion of
Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Ish Kvar Aku in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and that is Rabbi's opinion that it's 48 times 603,550 times 603,550. As the Gemara tells in this Braisa, Shama Mishum Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Ish Kvar Aku, according to Rabbi, said the name of Rabbi Shimon, En l'chol kol mitzvah mitzvah shebatorah shelo nichosu alea arboim u'shmona briso shel meya shel sheish meyos elef u'shloshes alafim chamesh meyos u'chamishim, and then nimtzo l'chol echav echav b'Yisrael another sheish meyos elef u'shloshes alafim chamesh meyos u'chamishim times it again, because they're basically arguing about, in addition to Kol Yisrael Arev Zelazeh, everybody's responsible, it's since I'm responsible for everybody else, and then everybody else also is responsible for me to be responsible for everybody else. And that's what the Gemara says, my Benayi, what's the difference between the two different opinions that Rabbi Shimon Yehuda said over in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the first opinion and Rabbi's opinion? So the difference is, as I've already mentioned, Amar Rav Misharshia, the Arva, Ika Benayu. Are we just responsible? I'm responsible for everybody else, so therefore it's 603,550 times the 48, or is it not only am I responsible, but everybody else is responsible for me to be responsible, and therefore you have to multiply by another 603,550. Okay. Gemara continues to go back to Hagrizim and Harevo. Darish Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmani Miturgimane de Rabbi Shimon Lakish. We mentioned many times that the Miturgimin was the person who said over the Shia, who was the loudspeaker for the Shia. The Rebbe, the Rosh Hashiva, would say the Shia somewhat more quietly, and then the Miturgimin would say it loud so the people could listen. They didn't have microphones, they didn't have loudspeakers, they didn't have Wayu Torah online that you could hear the Shiurim online. They had a person saying the Shia and then another person announcing it real loud, so people that were more distant from the Rosh Hashiva, the Rosh Hashiva was not proper covered, he should scream. So he would say the Shia more quietly, and then the Miturgimin would say it out loud. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmani was the Miturgimin of Reish Lakish, of Rabbi Shimon Lakish. And he said the following, Kala Pasha Kula, the entire Pasha of Hagrizim and Har-Evol, Lo Nemra Ella Binoev Vin No Ephes. All of the things that were mentioned there. We had the general bracha, the general klala, and then there were 11 specific brachos and 11 specific klalos that were said on Hagrizim and Har-Evol. So Reish Lakish had taught in the Shia that they all deal with a noev and a noefes. They all deal, Rachmana Litzlan, with the issue of adultery. So, when it says, Arur ish asher yaseh pesel maseichah v'gomer, it says, the first prat was, a person shall be cursed. If Rachmana Litzlan, he goes and worships idols, he goes and makes a pesel, he makes an idol, or he makes a maseichah, some sort of an image, inappropriately, and worships it. So, the Gemara says that Reish Lakish held the Arur Sagile. Would it be enough to say such a person is cursed? Such a person is much, much more than cursed. As Rashi tells us, Bismia, this is a lashon of Bismia, a lashon of really astonishment. Kofer Beikahu, if you go and worship idols, that's as blasphemous as a person can get. The Sagile, would it be enough to say, yeah, such a person is cursed? No, such a person loses his Olam Hazeh, loses his Olam Haba. He's erased. So therefore, it wouldn't be enough to say that just Arur. So obviously, it's talking about something else. What is it talking about? No Ef and no Ephes. Elazeha bo ala erva v'holid ben. This is talking about Rachmana Litzlan, a man and a woman who committed adultery. Rachmana Litzlan. And what happened? They had a child. That child's a mamzer. V'holach l'bein ovdei kochavim. And this child, as Rashi points out, he can't find the Jewish lady to marry because it's usher to marry a Jewish lady. As Rashi says in the next Dibra Matz, elazeha bo ala erva. So Eishes Ish, the man, Rachmana Litzlan, had adulterous relationship with a married woman. V'holid mamzer. The child that's born is a mamzer. Umitochu bo shasso, because of his embarrassment, because he's a mamzer, asur lovo b'kal, he can't get married to a Jewish lady. V'eino motzi isha. So he can't find a wife. So what does he do? Nebuch, who holech lebein ha'ovdei kochavim, he goes amongst the goyim, va'oved avodas kochavim, and he goes and marries a goyita, a shiksa. And elishasu lavod pesel masecha, what caused him to go and end up worshiping avodas kochavim? Because he marries the shiksa, because his parents, they didn't worship avodah zarah, but that's what the curse goes on. Oror isha shuyasa pesel masicha. This goes back on the parents who caused this child to be a mamzer, who caused the child not to be able to get married to a Jewish lady, who caused the child to marry a shiksa, who caused this child to go and do avodah zarah. It's not a free pass on the child, but the punishment that we're talking about over here is on the parents. And Rashi continues, uchein darish is kulon. And this is the way you dash it. All 11 of these klalos that are listed here, all are no Eif and no Ephes, and Rashi goes through all 11 of them. There's one that Rashi says he doesn't fully understand how that would be on a no Eif and no Ephes, but others explain it. In any event, the bottom line is that Reish Lakish had said that all of the curses that were given specifically on Har Grizim and Har Eivol all referred to adulterous relationships. And therefore, the one that we give the example of over here is back to the Gemara, Elazar Baal Erba Voli Bein, the Mamzer, Valach Lebein Ovdi Kochav, and he goes a Mebach amongst the Goyim because no Jewish girl will marry him, for Avad Avodas Kochav, and he ends up worshipping Avodas Zara. And therefore, the Aror goes on the parents, Aruvin, Ovi V'imo Shozeh, Shekach Gormelo. We take it out on the parents. The parents were the ones that Rahman al-Litzlan committed this adulterous relationship, and they're held accountable for their son going off the Derech. And therefore, that's the Aror over here. It's not going on the one who worships the Avodah Zarah, it's the one who caused the Avodah Zarah to become worshipped. And the same way, Reish Lakish said, Yudash and the other 10 specific klolos on Har Grizim and Har Eivol. Again, looking at Rashi, Dibur Masel, Elzeh, Bo'al, Erva, to go through the specifics of at least 9 of the other ones, and Tosfos Shanz has the 11th one to go through the entire sugya completely. Now we go to another Braisa, Tana Rabban, and the Braisa says, Unasata esabroch al Har Grizim, esakolo begomer al Har Eivol. So the Brice explains, Ma Tamiloma, what is it teaching us? Im Lalame Shate Brachal Hagrizim Uklal Harevol. If this additional pasuk is just telling us, yeah, the brachas on Hagrizim and the clothes on Harevol, why would we need another pasuk to tell us that? Harei Kvar Nemar, we already had a pasuk that said that. The pasuk says, Eliamdu Levorech Esom al Hagrizim, and the following will be on Harevol to get the clothes on Harevol. So we already learned that. So we don't need another pasuk to tell us the brachas on Hagrizim and the clothes on Harevol. And so we already learned that. So what's the purpose of telling it to us now? Ella, to teach us lahakdim bracha leklala, that the brachos always come first, even though the psukim in the Torah tell us the klalos, but the brachos come first. Lahakdim bracha leklala. Now, I might have thought that you should then do the general bracha and follow it with all the specific brachas, and then do the general klala and follow it with the specific klalos. Yochel, you call a brachos kodmus leklalos and do it the way I just said. That's why it says Talmud Lomar, bracha ooh, klala. That's why it tells us that the bracha and the klala, first bracha on Hagrizim, then klala harival, then next bracha on Hagrizim, next klala harival. So it has to be done in that specific order. The bracha achas kodemis leklala, bein kol brachos kodemis leklalos. But don't do all of the general bracha and the 11 specific brachas before you do the general klala and the 11 specific klalos. So do it in that fashion. Bracha klala, bracha klala. Okay, so you start off with the general bracha, you start off with the general klala. Then you do a specific bracha, then a specific klala, etc., until you go through all 11 specific brachos and klalos. Furthermore, the Braisa tells us, Ulahakish bracha leklala. And it's coming to compare the brachos and the klalos. In what fashion? Lo melacha, to teach us. Ma klala b'levim, af bracha levim. Just like the levim, the pasukim tell us that the levim said the curses, and Klai Yisrael answered amen, so too the brachos. The levim said the brachos, and Klai Yisrael answered amen. And likewise, with ma klala b'kol ram, af bracha b'kol ram. Just like specifically the pasukim tell us that it had to be said b'kol ram, it had to be said out loud, and therefore the klalos was said out loud, so too the brachos had to be said out loud. Af bracha b'kol ram. And likewise, with my klala b'loshon kodesh, as we learned previously already, the klalos had to be said b'loshon kodesh based upon the drushes that we had from the psukim. So af bracha b'loshon kodesh. So the hekesh over here between the brachas and klalos tells us that not only the klalos have to be said in loshon kodesh, but also the brachas have to be said in loshon kodesh. And furthermore, uma klala b'chlal uprat, just like the klala had a general klala and then 11 specific pratim, specific klalos, so too by the brachos. There was a general bracha and 11 specific brachos. A bracha we call a prat. So it taught us in the same fashion. The Hekish teaches us that everything is comparable between the brachos and the klalos. And finally, the last one is ma klala elu ve'elu onim ve'omrim amein, that those that stood on Har Eivol and those that stood on Har Grizim answered amein to the brachos, and they all answered amein to the klalos. Similarly, they did that for the klalos and brachos. A bracha elu ve'elu onim ve'omrim amein. Just like they did it for the klalos, they answered amein. So too, everybody answered amen to the brachos. Whether you're standing on Har Grizim, Har Eivol, whether you're down at the bottom, like Rabbi's opinion, everybody answered amen to the brachos, and everybody answered amen to the klalos, to the general bracha, to the specific bracha, and to the general klala, and to the specific klalos. That concludes our drushas of the Har Grizim and Har Eivol for now, and this is a good break point. We'll start a new Mishnah tomorrow, where this will conclude today's shiur.